G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2015. We're about to preview round three, but firstly, Fifo, big win for the Bombers.
It was, looking great guns at halftime and did their absolute level best to throw it away, much like the Sydney game and a few of the games late last season, but somehow found a way to come back from 10 points down late in the piece and then score exactly on time to not let the Hawks goal count at the other end.
Perfect.
A fortuitous win in a few respects, but some sort of square up for a pretty poor weekend from us last week on the punt.
Absolutely. What a shocker.
All right. Quick and the dead there. So we'll move on to round three and see if we can catch up a bit of ground from last weekend.
Absolutely.
Collingwood and St Kilda at the MCG on Friday night. The Magpies laying about three goals. Total points line around the 170 mark.
Yeah, look, I like St Kilda in this game. I think we've probably underestimated them a little bit pre-season. From what we've seen, their young kids are starting to actually play a bit of good footy. They've got a few blokes in that sort of 50 to 60 game range now, the Nunes and these types of blokes that are looking like really good footballers, and there's a bit about them. And the Pies were pretty ordinary last week, but even more than that, Pendlebury's under a big cloud. Adams is in a moon boot. They should both play, but they won't be fit. Sinclair's done a hammy. Greenwood's out. Reed's out. Sidebottom's out. They just don't have the depth. They don't have the depth on their list to cover for those sorts of losses. And look, they probably should still win, but St Kilda should absolutely be approaching this as a winnable game. And if they play it with that mentality, it could go right down to the wire. So three goals is a big start.
Yeah, I struggled to find something in this game. I don't think I'm terribly keen to trust either side just yet. Collingwood have the head-to-head history, but they're not half the side they have been in the past 5 or 6 years. Nothing good in the spread trends, nothing terribly good in the totals. Pretty easy laydown for me. We move on to Saturday afternoon and Carlton and Essendon at the MCG in one of the blockbusters. The Blues getting about five goals. It's the standard term for your 80,000-odd crowd. Blockbusters by way of membership and attendance, not necessarily... Yeah. By caliber of game, given that the Blues are getting about five goals, total points line around the mid-170s.
Look, Essendon have been outstanding given all the factors at play. They've got a really well-balanced team. They're strong back, strong forward, and they've got a hard-running midfield group well led by Watto in the middle there. On the converse, Carlton have been shithouse. They got absolutely paddled last week by West Coast, who...
Aren't they good themselves?
They're bottom six team, so that just shows exactly where they are. I think Carlton on exposed form should be well and truly firming as the spoon favourites just at the minute, and there's not a lot of upside. They haven't got much to come back into that team, so I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, I couldn't find a bet here in the end. The one thing that steered me away from Essendon and the minus is the Bombers have a really poor record last couple of years in games where they've jumped as big favourites. Only covered 2 of 9 in that scenario. Bombers trend to the under a little bit in terms of totals. Carlton trend a bit to the over. Nothing to get too excited about. The head-to-head history suggests mid-170s is probably near enough right. No play for me. The other Saturday afternoon game is at the Adelaide Oval when the Crows hosting Melbourne. The Crows laying about 7.5 goals. Total points line mid-170s.
Yeah, well, we all got a little bit happy with Melbourne after round one, but that was more because of the Gold Coast than anything else. I was exceptionally happy with Melbourne at half time last week, given I backed them at the start, and they absolutely took the piss after half time. They were disgraceful. Worst they've played in the last 5 years, and that's saying something. Adelaide have been an absolute powerhouse. Unlikely that Brodie Smith will play. He's just about been their best player so far this year, so they'll miss him, but at home in front of a screaming crowd, the Crows could win this one by 100, but... More so than that, there's just going to be lots and lots of points. I'm going to play the over.
Yeah, I'm normally pretty keen on the overs in day games, particularly at the Adelaide Oval. We're going to let this one slide. Just not sure, A, where to place Melbourne, given how they went last week. But perhaps more importantly, given the huge line here, what will happen in junk time in the fourth quarter and quite possibly the third quarter, given the way the Crows have gone about it the last 2 weeks. They shut up shop pretty early against Collingwood, and that would be my only concern in terms of taking the points here. I just don't know what they'll do.
Yeah, I think...
Three quarters of the way through the game if they're 10 goals up.
I don't get the impression from their coach that that's the way they're going to go about it. I think they've got a real sort of foot on the throat mentality at the moment. And given that they've played second fiddle to Port for the last couple of years, they'll be trying to squeeze every bit out of this bit of momentum they've got. And I don't see them taking the foot off the pedal at any point.
I don't think they did against Collingwood, but I think they spent a lot of their last quarter actually practicing almost practicing for subsequent weeks, a few different things. They could quite easily against the poor side at the Docklands have just kicked on. I mean, the other problem is they didn't necessarily kick all that straight and the margin flattered Collingwood in the end.
Yeah.
There's just enough there. I mean, the other thing is, will Ruse go into complete shutdown mode, given that he thinks they're a fair chance to get paddled over there?
Yeah, I don't think they can afford to. I don't think they can afford to do that. But
It's enough for me to leave it out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
We move to the twilight game on Saturday at the SCG. Swans hosting the Giants. The Swans laying about 6.5 goals. Total points line high 160s.
Look, Giants have been pretty good. Pretty good against some decent, well, we'll say decent opposition. Some shit-ass opposition is what's actually happened so far. I can't get over Melbourne. That was disgusting. Look, I didn't find a bet in this one. I hope the Giants win, but I'm going to stay away from it.
Yeah, nothing to see here for me either. The Giants do have a good record against the spread in Twilight and Night games, covering 11 of their last 15. Both sides have a bit of a trend to the under in Twilight and Night games across the last couple of years, but with a high 160s line at the SCG, you're not getting a lot of wiggle room there. And I think I have a slight lean to the under, but not enough to play. We move to Saturday night, and we're at the Docklands for the Kangaroos hosting Port Adelaide. The Roos getting half a goal to a goal, depending on where you're shopping. Total points line around the mid-180s.
It's probably the match of the round. Both sides, which you rarely say when both sides are coming in the form that they've been in. But Port Adelaide just have to find a way to win. They've got two really tough games coming up with the Hawks, and then the Crows with a Crows home ground advantage in the showdown. Could our preseason phase conceivably start 0-5? There's every chance. I think Port will win, particularly if Lobby comes back in. But there's probably just a little few too many unknowns at the moment, and I haven't liked the way that they've been going about it. These other teams seem to have found them out a little bit and slowed them down, which is they're struggling to combat. So I'm going to sit this one out, but I'll enjoy watching it.
I'm with North at the plus here.
Oh,
they've beaten Port last two starts, both in the Heakley era. They're terrific at Etihad, covered 16 of their last 25, covered 9 of their last 13 as home underdogs. Port have been poor at the Docklands last couple of years, covered only 2 out of 6, only covered 3 out of their last 10 as favourites on the road. If Lobby does come back, he's still going to be short of a run. Goldstein is a pretty tough gig to get first up. And importantly, if you're looking at a line with a half, well, 5.5 is the best number on the market for North at the plus. If you take that number, you're presuming it's a 15 to 17 point line at a neutral venue, and it's probably 4.5 goals at the Adelaide Oval. That's too many. Given the way Port have played, I would absolutely take 4.5 goals North Melbourne at the Adelaide Oval, and I will therefore happily take North at the small plus at the Docklands.
Great logic.
The other Saturday night game is at the Gabba for Brisbane hosting Richmond. The Lions getting 2 to 2.5 goals, total points line mid-160s.
Yuck. You can talk about this one.
I'm with Richmond at the minus here.
Big shot. Two in a row.
Richmond covered 9 of their last 13 on the road, including 4 of their last 6 as road favourites. Good record at night in the last couple of years. But importantly, the last 3 they've played, well, in fact, the last 7 they've played against the Lions, they've won the lot. Last 4 at the Gabba, they've won the lot all by 19 points or more. Last 3 across the last couple of years have been 4 goals, 7 goals, 4 goals. And they have to win. If they're going to be a top 8 side, they have to take care of business against rubbish sides. And Brisbane are unequivocally a rubbish side. They were hammered. They got close in the fourth quarter against Collingwood, but their first 3 quarters, they were absolutely dusted by a side that might join them in the bottom 6.
Yeah.
And they never fired a shot against North Melbourne. Richmond had their pants pulled down last week by the Dogs. If they actually have any pretense of playing in September, this is a must win, and I think they get it done. And they get it done well.
Very good.
Sunday afternoon, we're at Aurora Stadium in Launceston for Hawthorne and the Western Bulldogs. The Hawks laying about 7 goals, total points line low 180s.
Yeah, I thought 7 goals was a lot, given the Hawks had a pretty bruising encounter last week, and just the way the Doggies have been going about it. There's a team we're certainly underrated.
Mm.
They've got a really promising young list. Their tools have grown into their responsibility a bit over the last couple of years, and they're quite well balanced now. They've got a good leadership group. I didn't see them covering the loss of Libba through the middle, but the other guys have all stepped up, and yeah, they're playing some really good footy, lots of tackling, high pressure sort of football. Could be a low scoring game down there, blustery conditions usually in Launceston, some pretty heavy pressure tactics I think from both sides, but just still casting my eye back to round one and the way Hawthorne opened Geelong up, they could conceivably come out and win by 15 goals. They've got that sort of unit, so enough for me to sit it out.
Yeah. Luke Beveridge, as a former Hawthorne assistant, how useful season to season is that intel now coaching against them?
Look, he'd obviously have an insight into the players. It's no secret that the Hawthorne assistant coaches have a very strong relationship with all the players, and they do a lot of the one-on-one stuff. But, mate, if he uses any of that against us, then he can get stuffed. Bug him. I don't know that it means a great deal. And with a real professional unit like Hawthorne, everyone knows what they do.
Yeah, you've just got to actually stop it.
They've been, if not the benchmark, a benchmark team for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Mm. Everyone knows everything they do and how they go about it. It's just whether or not you can stop it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that'll have a big impact.
Yeah, pretty easy lay down game here for me. I haven't seen enough of the Dogs yet to quite work out where they're at. But the Hawks could be ominous. You know, really, really good sides tend to hand out paddlings the week after they get rolled. So this one's a pretty... I'm very interested to watch it. I'm very interested to see how the Dogs respond to the challenge, but a pretty easy no-bet game for me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they're sort of... Because as we said before, their forward pressure's been really, really good. Interesting to see how that stacks up against side like Hawthorne, who actually run and break through, try and break the lines, and just whether or not their defence can stretch far enough to match up on the 4 and 5 and 6... Hawthorne forwards that can impact the scoreboard. So, yeah, could go either way.
Sunday...
Either way, I mean, it could be a small fogging or a big fogging. Hawthorne will not lose this game.
Yeah. The other Sunday afternoon game, I'm not sure whether it's necessarily the most interesting game to watch, but it might be one of the most compelling storylines of the week in terms of the result. Geelong and the Gold Coast at Cadinia Park. The Cats, with Gary Ablett now out, laying more than 6 goals. Total points line low 180s.
Yeah, I couldn't find a reason to fight either side of this market. Both sides have been underwhelming. You'd have to think that the Gold Coast are going to find some sort of effort this week. Surely they've got enough pride as a unit to not put that sort of shit out there again. But, you know, without Ablett, maybe that is a catalyst for them to actually think, well, hang on, Gary's not going to do it for us. We're going to have to find it ourselves. Yeah, again, Geelong not really quite there either. I think probably 6 goals is probably a bit too much, even though Gold Coast have been shit. But that again, the fact that they've been so poor, there's enough doubt there to sit it out.
Very easy to lay down in terms of the line for me. Statistically, this is a good play for the over. Gold Coast got a terrific record to the over in day games. Good, strong record to the over as road underdogs. All 5 head-to-heads between these two sides have gone into the 190s and beyond. Only question mark here is there's a fair bit of rain forecast for Saturday night and also Sunday around the Geelong-Melbourne region, which is enough to say low 180s might not be there. If the weather's inclement, you might get 20 or 30 points lower on the weekend. So might be a game day decision. But if it is sunny, I think you can play the over. But at this stage, there's no way you'd want to be stepping into that line. And we move to the final game of the week. So it's a Sunday twilight game, Eastern time, but it's a 2:40 start in Perth for West Coast and Fremantle, the derby at Subiaco. The Eagles getting 3 to 3.5 goals, total points line around the 170 mark.
Yeah, well, let's not be fooled by West Coast dismantling of Carlton last week. Carlton are just that bad, as we said at the top of the show. I don't really. I don't have enough rating for the Eagles. They're a bit of a puppet side for mine. I think they lack a bit of starch as well through the middle of the ground, which is what Fremantle have in spades. It was an interesting point we saw on telly there before. Fremantle's side last week, when they took the field, they had 10 players over 190 centimetres. When you're lacking tools, that spells drama for me. Absolutely will win this one by 5 goals+. Lay the points, put everything you can find on it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the minus here as well. 18.5 is the best number on the board. West Coast, how long has it been now since they've actually beaten a side in the eight? Is it 2 seasons? 2 and a bit seasons? Oh, something ungodly.
Probably longer. I don't remember it happening. Yeah.
They've, in the last 2 seasons, they've started as underdogs at home 10 times. They've only covered one of those. Fremantle have covered 28 out of their last 38 when they get a 7-day break or more. Very keen to play the minus. And as is traditional with West Coast day games, I'm going to play the over. So, Freo at the minus, and hopefully they kick 25 goals and make these two bets get home with a fair bit of comfort.
Perfect.
So that gives me a total of 4 this week. I've got North Melbourne at the plus, Richmond at the minus, Fremantle at the minus, and the over in the West Coast Freo game.
I had 4 as well. St Kilda at the plus, Essendon at the minus, overs in the Adelaide-Melbourne game, and Freo at the minus.
Good luck and good punting, folks.